I got to work faster than I normally would. I drove in from San Antonio. I left my wife at around 11:30 and got here plenty of time. I'm impressed that you got a Buc-ee's. I'm just impressed. I was looking around for some stores, and all of a sudden, I couldn't believe it was like heaven had come down and gave us Buc-ee's. So as quick as I can, I want to be careful with your time. If you're not a member of this church, raise your hand. You're not a member and you want to join in a few minutes, all right? That's awesome right there. If you are a member, raise your hand, and you're backslidden, even your pastor. That's just a bad deal. I am from San Antonio, Texas, and I'll do a little bit of my story as best as I can. I've been traveling for over 43 years. Before the pandemic, I was traveling 280, 300 days out of the year, and then it hit, and I was without a job or income for about 6 months. There was nothing there, but God provided. We're good. I want to share with you three verses, a little bit of my story that goes into the verses, and your story as well. Not an hour and 5 minutes from the front door of my house, not an hour and 5 minutes from the front door of my house. I want to make sure, ladies, you know, I know you didn't sing much, but I really need you to listen, okay? That would be, see, now, if you get upset that I did that, that's your issue, but I want them to hear. If you're glad that I got their attention, say, I'm glad. Well, you should be. Ladies, if I didn't care, I'd just let you keep on messing with each other. So there you go. But I do care. Not an hour and 10 minutes from my house, front door, I can be in Uvalde, Texas. In Uvalde, Texas, 19 children, 2 teachers, 2 days, school's almost out, did not plan that day that they would meet their eternity. My son just texted me, who's a pastor in Oklahoma City, 2 nights ago. A family who for 2.5 years have built a house that they've dreamed of, was in the house with husband, wife, 2 daughters. The freeze happened in Oklahoma City. Their pipes froze. There was no heat. Wife wanted to stay in Grendon Barrett. He said, no, we're leaving. So they left. And 25 minutes later, the house that they were only in for 3 days blew up. 25 minutes from their eternity. I could go on. I have a young lady who I've known since she was about 6. She's now in her 30s, and about a week ago, I got a message. I was able to call and pray with them. And their 9-year-old little boy, she was having surgery, just a women's deal. While she was in surgery, her 9-year-old, who was being watched by the mother-in-law, there's a point for me to share all this. The 9-year-old loved Jesus, and ladies, I mean loved Jesus. He was known as a 9-year-old, one of the kindest 9-year-olds that you would have ever met. Started having some breathing problems. They rushed him to the doctor on the way there. He kind of went brain dead. They got him on a ventilator. They put something in his head. It burst, and about 3 days later, right after Thanksgiving, just a few days ago, he passed away. I share all that to say this. We act like we've got all the time in the world when all we've got is right now. And ladies, I appreciate you now listening, but I want you to hear me. You see, the bottom line, there was a time that I didn't laugh, wouldn't listen. There was a time I didn't learn. And by the time I was 10, I didn't want to live. See, there are 3 verses, and I'm going to be careful with your time. I'm the one that's got a 3-hour drive. And I'm not going to rush out of here. I'll hang around and speak with you. I've written 3 books. That doesn't impress you. I've spoken in front of thousands upon thousands of people overseas as well. And I want to do this as long as I can. I appreciate the opportunity of being here today. Psalms 139 says this, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I have a t-shirt that says, Yo Mama was pro-life. Can I get an amen? Aren't you glad that Mary and Joseph were pro-life? That's the bottom line. It's not pro-choice, it's life. Now, that may upset somebody here. You can just, you know, get upset and get happy about it later. But I believe, and by the way, the people that are pro-choice, somebody in their life was pro-life. Can I get an amen? So Psalms 139 says that even while you were yet in your mother's womb, I formed, I scheduled, and I planned every day of your life. Everybody say God. See, I like it when you participate. Everybody say God. And the devil have a plan. Thank you very much. Say a purpose and a blueprint for my life. If you go to Jeremiah 29:11, Pastor, you preached on it. It says this, I, the Lord, I know the plans I have for you, ladies. I have the plans not to harm or hurt you, but to give you a hope and a future. If you're listening, say yes. But the verse that I'm going to camp on in just a moment is John 10:10. I'm not going to ask you to open your Bibles. I brought mine. This is my 11th preaching Bible. I have 10 other Bibles that I will give my grandkids. By the time I was 9, first drink of alcohol. By the time I was 10, one of my stepdads, I had 9 stepfathers grown up. I was in jail at 15, suicidal at 10. Nobody wants to die, but they want the pain to stop. I hated the holidays. I hated Christmas. My mom was an alcoholic, and my dad was a gutless man. My dad knew how to make a baby, but didn't want to be a daddy to a baby. 38 million kids in America, listen to this statistic, have no idea where their real father is. 19 million kids in America have never seen their real dad. I've spoken over 20,000 school assemblies. I'd love to come back here and get in your schools. I'd be here for about a week. Listen, I love being in smaller communities because God always does some big things. I'm in jail at 15, suicidal at 10 after one of my dads beat me with the switch. There wasn't a church that had some Christmas party and invited us. I want you to hear me close. There were churches all around us, but nobody knocking on our door. Guys, we got to do a better job in 2023. Listen, we got to quit playing church and start being the church. You're looking at it, bottom line is this. I took a bottle of aspirins. Don't know how many I took. I didn't want to die, but I wanted the pain to stop. My dad knew how to make a baby, didn't want to be a daddy to a baby. I'm the oldest of 8 siblings. I have a half-brother that died from needles at 40, lost. Some of y'all better listen today. Because see, if your heart were to stop right now, could that happen, yes or no? Could somebody walk in here and start shooting, yes or no? I'm not afraid of that, but could it happen? Could it be a wreck? By the way, I saw 3 wrecks on the way here, and the weather was beautiful, but could it be a wreck on the way home, yes or no? So here's the deal. If you read Psalms 39, it says that our days are numbered. It says that our life is no more than the width of our hand. And then he says in Psalms 39, it says, so where do I put our hope? And here's what he says. Only hope is Jesus Christ. Thank you very much. And then you go from there. Bottom line is this. Hebrews 9:27 said it's appointed once for man to die. Everybody say we're all going to die. We're all going to be judged. If Judge Judy's our judge, we're all going to hell. I'm just telling you right now. She's one bad woman. But here's the bottom line. They say there are 2 facts of life. Death and taxes, they lied. There's 3. Death, taxes, and eternity. The question is, if your heart were to stop, if you were to die right now, could that happen, yes or no? We're not promised tomorrow. We got right now. That's all we got. And I can't assume that everybody in these pews are born again. But I want you to listen. I'm going to give you the greatest ripoff in this world. Everybody point to your head. Everybody say, you can know about God. Now point to your heart without knowing God. Do you understand? 18 inches, hell will be full of people who knew about him but never knew him. You have to understand, my mom would drag us out of her beds, would beat us with a broomstick, a belt, or a switch, depending upon if we needed to leave a mark or bleed a little bit. By the time I was 10, my sister was 8. We got smart in our life. I slept on the floor from the age of 10 to 15. I slept on a floor next to my baby sister's bed. By the way, half-brother died from needles at 40, lost. 2 half-sisters, alcoholics, along with their kids, lost. This is my family. Another half brother in and out of drug rehab. I think he's finally won that battle. Another half brother who went to prison, got out of prison. I've written 3 books. I helped him get his first book written. He's married, beautiful kids, and his life has been turned around. I've got a half sister I know nothing about. This is my family. I have another half full sister. When I found her, her 12-year-old little boy, watch this, crumpled and crippled old, he could barely walk, and I want you to hear me. Because of my sister's choice to do drugs, it affected his birth for the rest of his life. Everybody say, God and the devil have a plan, purpose, blueprint for my life. I want you to understand this. My baby sister, when I found her 40 years old, she had hepatitis C from needles, cirrhosis of the liver from alcohol. She became the very person she hated. She became my mom. You see, I would sleep on the floor next to my sister's bed. That way, when my mom drove up working at bars or clubs, and by the way, I haven't had a drink of alcohol in well over 50 years. I don't need a cheap high when I can have the most high. Whether you agree with that or not, it doesn't make me any difference. God changed my life. He's the real deal. I like sitting on the front row. That's when I stood. I don't know if anybody else stood. That way I don't have to worry about looking at anybody. I don't really care what anybody thinks, but I couldn't help but stand because I do adore the one that adored me. I do adore the one that died for me. If you're listening, say yes. There is so much to my story, and I'm giving you a short version. That's why he'll invite me back for a week. I just invited myself back. See, here's the deal. A time I didn't laugh, learn, listen, and I didn't want to live. My baby sister, so I would sleep on the floor. When my mom drove up, I would wake my sister up. Can you imagine this? We would slip out the back door, hide in a garage, a street, an alley, a park, and after a couple of hours, we could slip back in and get a good night's rest, and we wouldn't get beat up. Any way that you could be abused, I'll be gentle here because of the children, sexually, verbally, emotionally, any way you could be abused, me and my sister and my two half-brothers were abused. You can't even imagine the abuse. My mom threatened to take our life all the time. We lived in fear of our life. I woke up at the age of 10 with a knife to my throat, my mom's whiskey breath in my face. It was probably around Christmas. Dragged my sister into the room. I'm begging to live. My mom's telling us we came from hell, cost her too much money. Nobody really wanted us. You see, God and the devil, everybody say plan, purpose, blueprint for my life. You're looking at a dude that should be a wife beater, child abuser, drug user, and I should be an alcoholic. But are you ready for this? 53 years ago, in Corpus Christi, Texas, I'm living on a couch because I had nowhere to go. This family took me in, and a football player invited me to church, and I got saved. Now, I don't know when you're going to get, I ain't got over it yet. He changed my life forever. And I'm just telling you this. My mom told me all my life I'd never make it. She dropped the knife, passed out of my chest, and we got to live another day. That's my family. Now, I'm going to share one last verse in just a moment. Now, to tell you where I'm at, I just celebrated being married 50 years, August 17th of this year. I have 2 boys. I have 10 grandkids. If you see the tattoo, this really messes with somebody. I care. I should have got a bracelet because it hurt. But I got this tattoo in honor of my grandson, who this year would have been 16 years old. But you would think we've already been through enough. And we couldn't beat leukemia at the age of 7. Our loss was heaven's gain. The other tattoo that you see, his oldest brother 5 years ago, this December, was in a horrible wreck, just a freak wreck. His brother, bruised ribs, concussion, not a bone broken. I want you to listen, but they pronounced Caleb, my 16-year-old at that time, they pronounced him dead. He's graduated from high school, 2 years of college, walks without a walker, speaks. He's still got some stuff going on. But he's determined that God had a plan and a purpose and a... Somebody needs to catch whatever she's got. Baptists are the only one that can clap like they're at a golf tournament. Can I get an amen? Amen. So you're looking at a dude. Please listen in one verse and I'll be done. I was able to forgive my mom. I watched her laying in bed, 52 years old. For 14 years, I loved my mom. I wiped the blood from her eyes, skin turned yellow, her body bloated. I want you to hear me. My mom died a horrible death at 52, and I'm not going to lie like some preachers. I'm not going to tell you my mom's in a better place, but I will tell you this, my mom never made the better choice. If you're listening, say yes. Oh, by the way, when Trey passed away, September 1st, 2013, we went from 5 to 4, my son did. He adopted 2 drug babies who we're getting ready to see next week, Adele and Luke, their half-brother and sister. Watch how God's plan and purpose and blueprint works. Trey passes away. We adopt 2 drug babies, Adele and Luke. Luke, their half-brother and sister. Luke's as white can be, finally getting hair, but he white. Adele, biracial, she's got an afro and we ain't got a clue what to do with it. We white. Are you ready for this? Luke and Adele will find out one day, ladies, that their mom had 8 kids with 8 different men, and her trash became my treasure. So here's the question before I read the last verse and I'm done. God and the devil both have a plan, a purpose, and a blueprint for your life. John 10:10 is the verse. Are you ready? 2 voices. 2 lights. Watch close. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Now don't stop listening. I believe the greatest ripoff in our world is religion. Hell will be full of religion and religious people. Christianity is not about being a Baptist, a Methodist, or a Lutheran. Christianity is about a relationship you can have with God through Jesus Christ. So October of 1968, gas was 13 cents a gallon. I don't know who the president was, but we ought to get him back. But look at me close. My mom told me all my life that I would never make it for anything. I got 10 grandkids, 1 in heaven. Married 50 years. For you that need to know, March of this past year, I turned 70 years old. I'm in good shape for the shape I'm in. And here's the bottom line. If your heart were to stop, if you were to die, 19 children, 2 teachers went to school to learn and to teach, and they died. 9-year-old. Having trouble breathing, loved Jesus. Bottom line is, he died. A family 25 minutes away from their eternity decided to go ahead and leave and stay with some family and friends. They lost everything they had. But they almost met their eternity. So here's the question. If your heart were to stop, if you were to die. By the way, at my grandson's funeral, 1,400 people showed up. My son preached his son's funeral, and then I got up and gave an invitation. 80 people gave their life to Christ that day. So here's the bottom line. 1 John 5:13 says these things are written that you might know you have everlasting life. Not guess, not hope, and not pray. Can I give you this? John 3:16. For God so, are you ready? God loves you. If you go to, by the way, we're always saying, but God, that's what this shirt is in honor of. There's a lot. By the way, if it wasn't for God's butts, I'm not sure where our butt would be. Are you ready? Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his love even while we were screwing up. God still sent his son to die for us. If you read Ephesians chapter 1, it says, before anything was, God chose to love us and adopt us into his family. Are y'all listening? Somebody's liking Christmas Eve. So here's my question. Don't answer out loud, but if your heart were to stop, if you were to die, right, don't answer out loud. I'm not asking about your baptism, whether you're christened, sprinkled, dipple dunked. I'm not asking about any of that. I'm not asking about your church views or religious. I'm asking one simple question. Don't answer out loud. Do you know that you know if your heart were to stop, if you were to die, that Jesus is your Lord and Savior? I'll close with this. If you'll go ahead and come start playing, look at me real close and we'll be done. As still as you can be, look, you've done a great job. By the way, the little kids, girls, you did really good. Thank you for helping me. Look at me close. my son, who's a pastor. In fact, they did two services today. My church did four services today. My son prayed a prayer when I was eight. By the way, my first church I ever served in was First Baptist Belleville. So I know this area a little bit, and I would love to come back, get your schools. I can still do that. My son prayed a prayer at eight. I prayed with him, got him in the baptistry, and here's what he told me. When he turned 16, he said, "Dad, I've known," please, some of y'all better listen. He said, "Dad, from the age of 13 to 16 for 3 years, I raised my hand like some of you are about to do to say I was a Christian." And here's what he said. "But I knew in my heart that I was lost. It wasn't drugs, virgin when he got married, wasn't alcohol." He said, "Dad, I just didn't have a heart for the Bible. Dad, I was embarrassed of what you did. Dad, I hated my Christian school. Dad, I didn't care about my friends if they were lost or saved." He said, "Dad, you would think that if I got saved at eight, now that I'm 16, that I would be stronger in my faith." And my son at 16 finally gave his life to Christ. He quit raising his hand and he gave God his heart. This is the question. Some of y'all better listen. If your heart were to stop, if you were to die, the Bible says we're all going to die, we're all going to be judged, and we have a destiny. This is the most important question you'll ever answer in your life. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Would you bow your heads? Every head bowed, every eye closed. As still as you can be, nobody looking around. Real quick, I'm going to ask two questions, and I don't want you to look to see what somebody's doing next to you. I don't want you to look at your husband, your wife, mom, dad. I'm the only one looking, and I'm not going to come grab you, and I'm not going to follow you. How many sitting here can honestly say, now listen to my question. My son for 3 years raised his hand. A lady in his church, 87 years old, I was there preaching. She said, "Brother Ken, when I was 12 years old, I walked an aisle with a bunch of my friends. I have no idea what I did. And at 87, she said, this morning I just got saved." So here's my question, sir, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, single, married, little boy, little girl, teenager, college. Now listen to my question. I'm not asking about your commitment level or your convictions. I'm asking one simple question. Do you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? So with every head bowed, every eye closed, how many of you sitting here would say, "Brother Ken, Mr. Freeman, yo, dude, if my heart were to stop, if I were to die, Brother Ken, I can honestly tell you that if I died, if Christ were to come, I'm going to be with Jesus, and I know, don't look around, I know that I'm saved, I know that I'm born again, I've settled that." If that's you, would you raise your hand? Man, I'd be careful if I was you. Put them down. Some of you, like my son, have been living a lie. The enemy has ripped you off with religion, and you need a relationship. You see, Jesus was born so that we could live. He was born to die so that we could live. Second question, I'm not going to come grab you or follow you. How many here, with every head bowed, every eye closed, would say, "Brother Ken, Mr. Freeman, yo dude, if my heart were to stop, if I were to die," this might surprise your husband, your wife, your parents, your kids, your church, "I just want to know so I can know how to pray." Is there anybody here who would say, "Brother Ken, Mr. Freeman, yo dude, I honestly, if I died tonight, if my heart were to stop, I honestly don't know that I've ever been saved. I honestly don't know that I'd go to heaven if I died, but I want to know. Would you just at least pray for me right now with nobody looking but me?" Would you raise your hands? Put them up high. Put them up high. I want to see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now put them back down. Let me tell you why I'm going to ask it a second time. Because some of you didn't raise your hand to either question. So I got to tell you why, young lady, young man, sir. The reason you couldn't or wouldn't raise your hand, maybe God's not dealing with you, and that's possible. Maybe he's done dealing with you. I don't think so. Or just maybe you don't need God and you'll never know you need God till you need God. Some of you are being ripped off like my son. From the age of 8 to 16, for 8 years, he said, "Dad, I knew I was lost." And he is one of the most powerful Christian young men I've ever met in my life. So can I ask it again? Come on, sir. Grandma, grandpa, hey, drop your pride. How many one more time would say, "Brother Ken, Mr. Freeman, no, dude, if my heart were to stop, if I were to die, Brother Ken, I honestly don't know that I've ever been saved. Honestly, don't know that I'd go to heaven if I died, but I want to know, and I may be the only one. Would you pray for me?" Raise your hand one more time. Come on, hold them up high. Come on, young lady, don't be ashamed. Don't care less. Care less who sees. Put them down. Now, you that raised your hands, I want to tell you that Jesus is a gift beyond words. And this would be the greatest, what an incredible day to be saved, but on Christmas Eve. So about 8 or 10 of you raised your hands. 4 or 5 adults that I could see. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Don't worry, something's gone off somewhere. We're all right. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you would like to be saved, I want to tell you how that can happen right now. The Bible says you got to believe. Everybody say, "I believe." Say, "Jesus died on my cross for my sin." See, I'm watching some of you. You can't even say that. Say, "Jesus took my place. What he did on the cross, he forgave me. Loves me. Loves me enough to change me." You see, Romans 10, 9, and 10. See, Pastor, salvation doesn't start with the prayer. Salvation starts with what you believe in your heart. That's where it starts. The Bible says if you can believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that he's Lord, believe that he raised from the dead, he said, "I'll save you." So I don't care how many divorces, I don't care about the drugs, it doesn't matter what you've gone through. Can I say this to you? God wants you just like you are. So here we go. You 10 or 12 that I could see, if today you'd like to be saved, I'm going to ask you to pray with me right now. Now listen to me close. This is not a get out of hell prayer. It's not a magical prayer. You see, the prayer will be a confession of what you believe in your heart. Now you can whisper, softly speak, you can shout it. But if you would like to be saved, would you pray this with me right now? Just say it, sir. Just say, "Hey, Jesus, I'm tired of being ripped off. I'm tired of being lost. And Jesus, today, if I'm the only one, I believe what you did on the cross." Say it. "You did it for my sin. You took my place. You forgave me on the cross. Thank you, Jesus." Now say this, "Hey, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin." You don't got to make a list. He's not Santa making a list, checking it twice. He knows your heart. "Jesus, I'm sorry for the garbage in my life. Thank you for forgiving me." Now say this, "Hey, Jesus, today I repent." Here's what it means. Say, "Change my direction, how I walk, my mind, how I think. And Jesus, today, change my purpose, how I live. I receive you into my life, and I want to call you Lord, Savior, Father, Friend forever." Now, only you and God knows if you meant business, sir, ma'am, young lady, young man, church member, visitor. So I'm going to ask with every head bowed, every eye closed. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If that prayer is your heart, God just saved you. So I'm going to ask. If you prayed that with me just now and you're not ashamed, you meant that with all your heart, raise your hand. Hold up your hand. I want to see. Come on, put them up high. You say, "Brother Ken, I may be the only one." Come on, hold them up. Young lady, young man, unashamed, unafraid. Put them down. I'm going to ask you to do 2 more things. It's going to be tough. Nobody's going to make you do anything. Matthew 15, Mark 8, Luke 9, John 12. Listen what Jesus says four times. He said, if you're not ashamed of me and my words, won't be ashamed of you. In fact, he says, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you to the Father. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to count to three. And if you believe that he saved you, as I count to three, I'm going to ask you to stand, remain standing with your head bowed. Now listen to me close. If you can't stand here with people that love you, you'll never stand out there. Are you ready? You may be the only one that stands, ma'am, sir. Are you ready? Hey, don't wait for me to count to three. If you believe that he saved you, stand up right now. If you believe that he saved you, unashamed, unafraid, would you stand up right now? Sir, ma'am, young lady, young man, unashamed, unafraid. If you believe that he saved you just now, that was your heart. I'm only going to count once. One, two, three. Now everybody else, keep your head bowed. You that are standing, look at me. If you're standing and you met that with, would you come and stand right here and face me? Would you step out in the aisle? Would you do it? I know it's bold. Just come and stand and face me right here. Unashamed, unafraid. Unashamed, unafraid. Unashamed, unafraid. Unashamed, unafraid. See, only you and God knows if you meant business. This is the greatest day of your life. Hey, you'll never forget the Christmas Eve in 2022 when you said, hey, Jesus, save me. Now I'm going to start at the very back, dude. I'm going to come to the front. Look at me. If this is what you're saying, I want you to nod your head. You're saying, Brother Ken, I don't know what I did before, but here's what I know right now. I believe with all my heart that this evening that God saved me. If that's what you're saying, would you nod your head? Would you nod your head? Would you bow your heads? You that are seated, would you look up? We're talking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We've got 12. And of the 12, 1, 2, 3, at least 5 are adults. Would you give them a round of applause for their salvation? Oh, like you mean it, not a golf clap. Amen. Now, counselors, here's what I'm going to need. I need 1, 2, 3, 4. I need 5 ladies. Come get them. Come get them right now. You're gonna fill out a card. They're going to give you a Bible, whether you need it or not. This church would love to have you here. Go ahead and get them. Ladies, come up. Come to the front. If you're ladies right here that are standing, come on. Come on. Yeah, come on. Come on up. Come on up. You can take him with you. Come on. Just head that way. Come on, ladies. Come on, come on. Just say, excuse me. Shove them out. No, I'm kidding. All right, come on. They'll talk with you. You'll be okay. Ladies, go ahead and begin to fill out those cards. If they need a Bible, give. You can go to the foyer. You can sit, stand over there. Now I need 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I need about 7 men. Come and stand behind these men. Now, if you're a deacon in this church and you can't do this, you need to resign today. Would you come? You want to talk to both of them? Okay, you take them. Come on, guys. I got a man here. I got a man here. You got him? I got a gentleman right here. I got a young man here. You got him? I got a young man here. I need 2 more men. 3 more men. You got those 2? This dude here, what about him? You coming? Yeah. Right here. Get this guy right here. You got him? Get him. Get him. There you go. Everybody got one? Got a young man here? I'm not sure who she is, but there you go. With your heads bowed in a moment, we're going to sing. Go ahead and start filling out those cards. Don't be looking at me. Be filling out those cards. Find you a place to sit, stand, sit on the stairs. I don't care how you do it. Now with your heads bowed, we've gone a little bit over. Forgive me. How many here would say, every head bowed? How many of y'all in the pews would say, Brother Ken, I know I'm saved? Raise your hand one more time. Put them down. Is there anybody, I'm not going to come grab you. Is there anybody to say, Brother Ken, I might be, might not, I just don't know. Would you pray for me? If that's you, would you raise your hand? Anybody here? How many would say, Brother Ken, Mr. Freeman, no, dude, I know I'm saved, but lately I've been making some bad choices lately, and I want to do better in 2023. Would you just pray for me? If that's you, raise your hand. Homopai, don't be ashamed. You see, you're the Jesus that are people are going to read in your family. You're the Jesus at your school. You're the Jesus at your job. So would you stand with me? Everybody stand. They're going to sing in just a moment. We'll sing with them. I want to pray over you with your heads bowed. While they fill out these cards, we still got the candlelight service. Don't be leaving. With your heads bowed, do me a favor. Put your arm around your wife or your kids or that friend. When's the last time you prayed with each other? Would you take a few moments, do that right now as a family? Just put your arm around somebody and just say, hey, I want to thank you for being in my life. Would you do it? They're going to lead us. Let's worship together. Go ahead, lead us. Just a few more minutes. We're almost done.
We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus.
Help us, the greatness
of
your mercy,
his mercy and love
at the feet of Jesus. And we cry. Now,
yes, we cry, holy, holy, holy. Yes,
we cry, holy, holy,
holy is the Lamb.
Real still with you, with your heads bowed. You that are filling out the cards, make sure you get the information so we can follow up on their decision. Please give them a Bible. Make sure that you print on those cards. And then when you're finished, pray with them. Thank God for their salvation. Sing one more time, and then I'm going to turn over to your pastor. Come on.
We fall down.
We lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness. Your mercy and love, help us. Come on, sing this.
Jesus, we cry.
I'm going to turn over to your pastor. We went over a few minutes. Are we okay? Surely if he hung on the cross, we could hang around a little more. You that got saved, you that are at the front, write today's date in your Bible. Your Bible back at home, write it down. By the way, this is my 11th preaching Bible that I'll give my son. My other 10 are going to go to my grandkids. Hey, this is a great crowd for a Christmas Eve service. Thank you for your time. Can we give the Lord just a round of applause and thank him for who he is? Come on. Not a golf clap. Come on.
Amen. All right, everybody. Praise the Lord. God moved tonight. Isn't that a great Christmas gift? I love it. Hey, what we're going to do now is when you came in, you got a candle. So if you could go ahead and pull out that candle. Just as we start to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, we're going to remember that night that our Savior came to this earth. He didn't have to come to this earth, but because he loved us so much, he left heaven, came to earth as a baby, and was born in a small manger. So we're going to cut the lights. Brian, could you hit the lights back there for me? We're going to have a couple of our deacons are going to go get a lighter. If the last person on the line, if you'll just hold up your candle, they're going to come by and light your candle. By the end of the song, all our candles should be lit. The only light in here are going to be those candles and that beautiful cross up there. So as we sing, thank y'all for coming tonight. Like I said, we'll spend some more time. Please come over and see us right after. We'll be back in the gym. The snow hill will be open. But for right now, let's, as a family of God, worship Him and thank Him for sending Jesus